mean to say it's intense in your country. And so I acknowledge that there is, let me say, an obstacle to overcome. But I think Abhishek helped us very much by making us up with this fiery icebreakers. I would like to introduce my lectures. They will all come from one theme, one central theme, which is living the Bhagavatam. Last year, I was able to give you a seminar how to absorb this nectar of the Bhagavatam. I believe some of you are reading regularly Bhagavatam. In this retreat, I focus my attention on the subject of living the Bhagavatam. So I will try to draw out subjects from the Bhagavatam which are pivotal, they are relevant, hopefully relatable, and will try to give you hints how to live these subjects, and in this way Bhagavatamize your life, if that makes sense. We have a few new English, let us see, introductions to the English vocabulary. One is to Godize your life, like fireizes. This is about making your life or empowering your life by living the Bhagavatam and really seeing a wonderful transformation. So we have to go a little bit fast. We're still under the influence of London. Because time is always there. Today I would like to introduce this series of lectures by a very intriguing subject, a community without end. Once again, some of you were coughing. A community without envy. When we are in this world, we all have a thorn in our psychology. A thorn which is really influencing all of us. We are here in this world because of having turned against Krishna. And this turning against Krishna is called in Sanskrit Mansalya, or it's a type of actually madness, you could call, which is manifesting as envy, an ill feeling, a reserved feeling, and not trusting Krishna 100%, which is stifling us and stifling us. And this thorn, which draws so much pus in our life, is also manifesting in the form of the inability to be joyous about the success of someone else. When we see through the lens of envy how someone does very well in his or her life, we feel this pain in our heart. And the Vishnu Purana informs us, as long as you feel distress upon seeing the good fortune of others, you are suffering a distress that you feel until death and your next birth. This is something which we do not wish in a spiritual assembly. In this weekend, I believe we have ample opportunity to correct this, to hopefully pull out the thorn, at least a little bit more, that it doesn't make any longer pass, or this feeling of distress or not happiness when others excel. If we can have a community without envy, my dear devotees and people, Paramasena will flourish because it will manifest the atmosphere of an oasis where the souls of this world will like to take shelter, because everyone in this world suffers from this the thorn in the flesh, this envy. There's a very nice text and purport in the Bhagavata from which we will draw the strength and the, let us say, inspiration to celebrate and be joyous about their happiness and successes of others, and in this way turn it all around.
Please join me.
You're a little tired, so we will go a little lower. This is an auspicious invocation by which we call Lord Krishna and request him to bless our effort to dive into this ancient text.
Heartfelt cooperation.
sons, the Lord said. My dear sons of the king, I'm so very much pleased by the friendly relationships amongst you. I see all of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask the benediction of me anything. So Prabhupada says, sorry, one moment.
Would you be so kind to?
Since the sons of King Prachinavarisha were all united, in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was so very pleased with them. Each and every one of the sons of King Prachinavarisha was an individual soul. But they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. They kept their individuality, but they were united in this one bhakti, transcendental service to the Lord. Now, Prabhupada gives us a definition of what he considers real unity. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is real unity. When individuals come together and attempt together to satisfy the Supreme Lord, that's real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions, and consequently, they cannot be united. This unity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. So, yes, this thorn is very deep. It's very deep. It's hard to get it out. Even in the society of devotees, Prabhupada observed these different interests which make it impossible to really unite. So then he gives some very good tip, some very good advice. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal: to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. So, yes, you can have different perspectives as long as you have that interest to satisfy Krishna. That is spiritual, these disagreements. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to his devotees. If you want to get the blessings of the Lord, then this is the idea: to give up your selfish interests and join this big effort to put the interest of the Lord in the center, and then work together. That makes him so happy that he will bless you, as indicated in this verse.
we can see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Nachina Baisha. It's a wonderful, I think you agree, this really, there's really power in this. What do you think? This is a powerful purpose. You might read it. I think you have a mobile telephone. You might make a note. It's 4:38. And you can download it, the text, and look at it with full satisfaction on your mobile telephone. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Chimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vajanine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskajane Shatharine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garadhana Shivasani Yodhavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'm sorry, I have some. Please keep it. I might you require it. This greatest enemy of the conditioned soul, really it's the greatest, is this feeling of this ill feeling towards others. And really this not also trusting even Krishna. There is a definition there. What is this feeling? It says it's a suffering feeling. It makes you, it stifles your inner happiness. It says in the scriptures of Mahabharata, the suffering that appears in the heart when we see another has what we don't have, that's called envy or jealousy. He thinks someone has something which we don't have. There is a very nice story which I like to tell in this conversation on envy. Hare Krishna. We have maybe some old ghosts here, or sorry, very nice. You know, I was once giving a lecture tour through Germany, and I had one Guru Kuli with me who learned in our Bhaktivedanta Gurukul in Vrindavan, and after having delivered a lecture to a full hall, I requested this Gurukuli, his name was Jiva, to also say something. I wanted the German audience to be impressed by the wisdom from the lips of a child. I never forget what he said, and I think those who were in that hall will also not forget. He very confidently sat down and he said, I want to tell you a story which we have heard in our school. And then he started his story, very, very amazing and instructive story, which I think will help us to put this instruction of the Bhagavatam cooperation into practice by pulling the thorn which keeps us from cooperation, that ill feelings towards each other. There was once a man, a poor man, who was so poor that he didn't have enough flour even to make chapatis. I'm living with Gaur Krishna, and we are eating simply, but sometimes Gaur Krishna gets so hungry that even he, who is a non-cook, goes into the kitchen and makes chapati for all of us and himself, because chapati is required. I understand. He was so poor, he didn't have enough flour for his chapatis. So one day, in great distress, he went into the forest, and he sat under a tree, and there was some noise like the noise you just heard it, but this was from a real ghost. It was the yaksha of the forest, who was there in the tree that was his residence. And the man was crying, and he was a little anxious with all this noise in the tree. He said, "Is there anyone, please?" And the yaksha said, "Yes, it's me, the yaksha of this forest. You have arrived in my residence. I want to give you a benediction. Is there anything you wish?" And the man said, "Yeah, I'm very poor. Could you help me to create some wealth in my life?" "Yes," said the yaksha, "under one condition. Whatever you ask from me, your neighbor will get double." "Okay, no problem," said the poor man. Went home and decided, "Let me try it out." He sat down and he said, "I would like to have a mango tree." The mango tree was right before the house. He was so happy. These are very nice mangoes. He ate every day a mango. It nourished him very nicely. And one day he walked around the village, and he saw on the property of his neighbor, where previously there were no mango trees, two mango trees. "Wow, he really benefits from this yaksha," thought the poor man. All right. And life went on. He decided he would like to have a field with wheat for his chapatis. So he asked the yaksha one day, "Could you give me a good size field with wheat for my chapati supply?" One was there. Parts of the forest disappeared, and instead a field appeared. Man said, "I wonder, what is this, my neighbor?" So he went over and he saw there was a double-sized field before the house of his neighbor. "I don't know what he did to deserve this," said the man to himself. Time went by, and he decided to make a good renovation in his house. So he asked, "Dear yaksha, this house is not suitable for my living any longer. Please give us a good-sized bungalow." It was there. Then he went to the bathroom and looked out through the bathroom window. Small window, then no one could see his inquisitive glance, and he saw there was a shackle of his neighbor before. Is it called shack? No, shack. Is it called shack?
Shack.
Shack. There was a two-story house. He only had one story. And profound grief at seeing the success of his neighbor took possession of his heart. His face contorted, and then his envy came out, the thorn, Drupas, and he asked, "My dear yaksha, please
give me the blessing to take one eye from me. Bang! He had no, only one eye. He didn't care any longer. He went over to his neighbor, and he felt relieved to see that his neighbor now was blind on two of his eyes. He has gotten double. You shake your head. How can it be possible to think like this? My dear devotees, sometimes, and no, what did you say yesterday in the car? Preeti said something philosophical. I mean, many things philosophical, but something stuck in my mind. You don't see what you don't see. What was it? Your blind spot you don't see.
Sometimes you don't know the questions that you
want to
know the answers for. You don't see what you don't know.
This is sometimes something we say, well, I'm not, this lecture is not for me. I can go and take an early breakfast. I'm really, this Maharaji, nice, I like to hear sometimes from you, but this is irrelevant, so there's no envy in my heart. And sometimes we don't see the problem. I will get a little bit closer to the subject to help you see so that you can remove it. And then we will have a cooperation, and we will be able to surrender to Krishna. And Pandavasena will become one huge wave, which first will roll over Great Britain, then it will roll over the ocean, land somewhere in Gujarat. I know my audience. And, in other words, miracles can be expected. You know how much Srila Prabhupada stressed cooperation. And once, also something from Bengal, once he asked one of his god brothers, why don't we cooperate in the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Our strengths will be doubled. And the god brother thought about it, and then he gave a Bengali answer. You will hear the Bengaliness in the answer. He said, in your institution, you are very influential. It's a big institution. And in my institution, I'm also very important. It can be, he said, in your pond, which is big, you are the big fish. And in my pond, which is slightly smaller, I'm also the big fish. Now, when I join your pond, I will be the small fish. Please excuse me. It is not possible. And he gave a polite smile, like it is done, hiding what was in his heart, and went. This was narrated to me by His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, who was sitting there, and because he knows Bengali, he could understand this. In your big pond, you are the big fish, and I'm also in my small-sized pond, I'm also the biggest fish. But if I join you, I will be the small fish. And it's very unpleasing to the heart. It is very deep, even in spiritual circles. Why is this there? Well, it is because of a separate interest from the interest from Krishna. When we can think of Krishna's interest, let him be satisfied, then at that time this feeling disappears. Then I think, oh my God, brother, does such wonderful service. Ooh,
wonderful. Krishna will, consciousness will be spread like anything. Oh, it's so wonderful.
I remember in my own life, I once observed how His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was bringing out these movies on Srila Prabhupada, and they appeared in the Indian TV on one of the main channels. And I thought, wow, he glorifies Prabhupada so nice. And then I said, oh, I can't do this. I'm so useless. I can't make a movie about Prabhupada. I don't even know anything about modern technology. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. And for a moment I could see some grief in my heart. And then I noticed, this is not good to feel grief about the success of someone else. Why do I feel this? And it came to my mind immediately, well, or how can I correct this? This is, was my approach. It came to my heart immediately. I can correct it by just understanding he's glorifying the Prabhupada. Isn't that what I truly want? Yes. This is at least my wish that I wanted. And it is, wow, it's so nice that Krishna consciousness is spread. It's so, if you feel like, if you see like this, Krishna is so nicely satisfied. Krishna is so nicely glorified. Prabhupada is so nicely glorified. Then you say, you feel, let me join this devotee. Let me assist in this grand project. And that is very, very, very necessary, this change of a vision. This vision will empower you, make you totally Krishna conscious. Wow, Krishna is pleased. Let me please him. Your life is very happy at that moment. The thorn is drawn and finally it falls out, hopefully. And then boom, you go back to God. Yes. There is one verse which highlights this idea of being having the interest that Krishna is satisfied and then being very pleased about this. It appears in the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 15, text 18. And I will summarize the verse for you because it's on this subject. Stop the tendency to be envious by stopping this sense gratification, which doesn't gratify you anyways. Envy is a sadness in the heart. It creates suffering. The verse says, when the king of bees, I don't know if he had a crown on his head, but he was the king of bees, started humming in a high pitch, all the birds in the transcendental kingdom of God who were singing and making bird songs, and they stopped. And they thought, oh, there's glorification of the Lord going on by the bee. Let us be silent and listen. Prabhupada comments, in the material world, even an ass enjoys his own sound vibration. Isn't it so nice to read Prabhupada? An ass enjoys his own sound vibration. I think only Prabhupada would say it like that. He would say brain or something. But even in the material world, even an ass enjoys his own sound vibration. But in Vaikuntha, such nice birds as the peacock, the cuckoo, etc., prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bee. Why? Because the special feature of Vaikuntha is there's no question of one's own desire for sense gratification. So then, the doves, the cuckoos, the gallinules, I don't know what this is, immediately stop chirping. And they say, oh, there's glorification of our Lord. Let us be silent and listen. Who is it? Asked someone else. Well, it's the king of bees. He's so qualified, more than us, because he sits on the garland of the Lord. He's very close. Do you see that? And he is humming, Hari Hari, by vibrating its wings. This is equal to the glorification of the Lord. I do not know how much more respect the birds will show to the bee if it starts to directly glorify the Lord. So, we know amongst Kirtan Diyas that when someone sings better and nicer, we should feel great happiness. Oh, he glorifies Krishna. This Kirtan is so wonderful. And this is what is the mood here in Vaikuntha. It's to feel joy upon seeing the success of another who satisfies Krishna. And that makes out a community without envy. You feel joy in each other's association. And in this way, encourage each other to serve more and more. Another good way to give up envy, the first is to give up this selfish look and selfish perspective of your own interest, is to start learning about another. When you see someone does something very nice in his service, like Akash is now the president, and he I have seen one of his strengths is he's very supportive. He's in the background and supports. You can learn from him. Wow, this is an interesting idea, to be in the background and support in an invisible way. Once Ramanujacharya was asked, how should a devotee be? And he said, like salt. Salt is there in the sabji. You don't see it. You don't even notice it if it's in the right proportion. But it enhances the taste of the potatoes, the curly flour, the chickpeas, whatever is there in the your sabji. It enhances it, but remains invisible. You can look at the sabji there. You don't see any salt. But it enhances the fragrance or taste to come, or helps the taste to come out in everyone else of the other sabjis. This is how a devotee should be. Not, he may be invisible for the, let me say, the eyes of the fame-hungry souls, but the Lord sees him more. He recognizes him more. Oh, he is like this. He humbly serves. He's invisible. So when we see qualities like this, we can learn. Wow, why do I always want to jump in the front and want to be praised because of my new fitting dhoti or beautiful Varanasi silk sari? Trying to speak. So learn from others. I will now have to look at the wristwatch without you noticing it. Time is there. What we have seen in mundane psychology is envy comes up especially between peers, that is, people who are equal or slightly on a same level. Like, for instance, teachers in the school can become envious because one may have more success in grabbing the attention of the restless little boys and girls than another one. So, or I have seen, as someone who does kirtan, So often, envy often appears amongst Vedanga players. They are almost on the same level, but oh no, why did he play this nifty beat, which I do not know. Envy may appear amongst Madhusis, you know, who are equal. Oh, she went and had this very, very avant-gardistic haircut. Now everyone from the man's side looks at her only, no longer on me, you know. And amongst peers, I want to give my bad examples equally. Mostly men play Madanga, so that was for that. And that was in that. Trying to be relevant here. So my dear devotees, that's a danger, because we here in the Pandavasenas have a few leaders, but most of us are peers, are equal. And therefore, it is expedient, it is good if we learn the switch in the mentality. And the easiest way to come away from the desire to be in the center is to put really Krishna in the center, or to put the mission of Pandavasena in the center, and then join cooperatively this mission and be happy when someone else is there. But the easiest way really is something which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed in his mats, in his temples. He had an exercise where he trained the devotees to see the good in the other instead of seeing the bad in the other. So, what he did when he saw the devotees quarreling or being distanced from each other. The quarrel is not always expressed, but it is felt in the heart, that feeling. He called them together, Sannyasi A and Sannyasi B, they came together, and he said, now I wish you to find out the good on the other and express it. So Sannyasi A, who had been quarreling over a room with Sannyasi B, looked at him and he had to say something good. He said, well, I appreciate that you eat prasada. It's something good, no? Start. So, okay, B, say something good about A. You sleep in a lakshram and not in a hotel. That's good. So they started to talk like this. And more. They said more and more. And finally, they broke through the wall of resentment. Finally, the thorn became loosened. And they could actually see the service the other did, the intention which was behind it, to please, and it went away. I would. I'm a student of Abhishek. I know this active learning exercise. I want you to just turn to your partner next, by anyone next to you. Please all participate, because it will be an exercise to pull the thorn. Who of you has not yet found a partner? Please look around. There may be someone pointing there. Madhujis, who of you has not yet found a partner? You all found. Good. Now, who is partner A? Raise your... Okay. Who is partner B? All right, B goes first. My dear partner B,
look at partner A and genuinely, not foolishly, genuinely say, try to see something good in him. It's not easy, it's easy, you know.
Don't shrink from the responsibility of this.
Say, see something, but it should be real. Not something, I like your glasses. not this is really foolish. I don't want to offend you, but this something real.
Maybe you see the services, something the intention, the way they approach Krishna consciousness.
It should be rather, but try to say something deep. If it's really deep, you will see. He will be in somewhat moved by what you say. You will have touched his heart. If it's just a funny joke, I mean, that we can do in London, you know, but we are here on a retreat, you know. Okay, please start now.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for participating in this exercise. Take this exercise with you in your life. You may not always express, but sometimes it's also good to express to another person. Then we will really be able, by focusing on the good, to remove the thorn from us and our heart, and it will be very good. Our community will be a very strong community, and by the way, extremely attractive. One can feel when devotees cooperate nicely together, one becomes attracted. I want to end this. I won't be able to take questions because we are slightly over time already, and we want everything to go on nicely. I would like to read something from the Bhagavatam. It's a verse. It's again a good verse to note down. If those of you who are studious will appreciate it. It's 6:16:42. I just found this before, when I just was ready to close my preparations for this presentation. It is amazing. Please listen. How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained? By causing pain to one's own self due to envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger, O Lord, and practices irreligion. A very amazing instruction. This needs to be given up, and it's so easy to give it up by two ways. See Krishna's interest, put this in the center, and by satisfying the Lord, especially by satisfying him cooperatively, together with many. Oh, the Lord is so pleased that he gives any blessing in your life, any blessing. And if there is, if you notice someone does better, before allowing that the thorn influences your thought, the thought of everything, let me learn from this person, let me emulate as far as I am equipped, you know. Obviously I will never be able to produce a movie. Hopefully I am in a movie one day. I'll be enjoying the production is not my cup of tea. Yes. And try to experiment with this during the Pandavasena retreat. It will strengthen your community experience. It will make you very happy. A lot of blessings will come. I thank you so much and wish you a wonderful, wonderful retreat. Hare Krishna.